I'm Aaron Pednati, and today I'm interviewing Kartik Bala about his experience in the Capital Region video game industry. Along with his brother Guha, Kartik is one of the most significant figures in upstate New York game development. He and his brother started their first video game company, Vicarious Visions, at the age of 14 and 15 years old, working out of their parents' basement in Rochester, New York. Over the course of the previous decade and continuing into the 2000s, the company, which had established a game studio in nearby Menands, New York, became tremendously successful. Partnering with the independent game publisher Activision, Vicarious Visions went on to produce a string of massively popular games. In 2001, it had its first major hit with Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, which sold millions of units worldwide. In 2007, it developed Guitar Hero 3 for Activision, which went on to become the first video game ever to gross $1 billion in sales. And in 2011, it launched the Skylanders game series, which went on to become one of the most successful games and toy franchises of all time. The series has grossed over $3 billion in sales worldwide and has been adapted in multiple media, including a popular and award-winning Netflix show. In 2005, Kartik and Guha sold Vicarious Visions to Activision for more than 20 times what they had originally invested in it, and in 2016, the brothers left the company. They have since started a new games development studio, Villain Studios, which is located here in Troy. For today's interview, I'm going to ask Kartik about the history of Vicarious Visions. Next week, I'll be asking him about Villain. Kartik, thanks very much for coming on the program today. It's great to have you as a guest on the Hudson Mohawk Evening Magazine.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks.
To start out, I'm wondering if you can tell us a bit about yourself and how you first discovered your passion for video game design. Can you take us back to your parents' basement and give us a sense of how it all began?
You know, I think my brother and I always liked to be creative and building things. You know, even when we were little, we would, you know, make up comic books and write stories and things like that. And, you know, we're just really, you know, always into just different little creative projects in the summer or whatever. And we had moved to Rochester in the summer of 1990. I was building my first computer. And, you know, I was looking around for, like, in the newspaper for, like, spare parts, and we didn't have much money, and we were just trying to figure it out. And I met this guy who was actually doing his own technology startup with his brother. He had recently left Kodak and his brother from Xerox. And they were doing a startup, and they were working on PC sound cards. And this is like early 90s. So this is before multimedia PCs. They were doing some pretty advanced stuff. And he asked me, he said, why are you into all this stuff? What do you want to do? And I said, oh, you know, I'd love to make video games. And he's like, well, why don't you go do that? I said, I can't. I'm just a kid. And he's like, well, that's not an excuse. And I said, well, I don't know how to program. You know, I've never taken any classes. Nobody has taught me anything. And this is pre-internet, right? So we now have access to so much knowledge. We can Google anything. But back then, that knowledge was in the minds of a few. And so he went over to his bookshelf and picked out a programming book in C and a software package for animation, and he gave it to me, and he's like, go figure it out. And there was really no excuse at that point, and I didn't want to let him down, and I'm like, okay, let's go try and figure this out. And I was just really, really intrigued. I love playing games. And I think the thing was, I got so into it, and I realized how powerful this medium really was going to become. Because the power of interactivity and the way it was telling stories and the way it empowered you, and I didn't think about it quite in those terms back then, but that's how I felt, right? And that's how I intuited. And that kind of empowerment that games were providing and the level of immersion and where it was going, the storytelling, the multimedia aspects of it was really intriguing. And I'm like, this is the future. And I was so enamored by it. Not only did I enjoy playing games, I just wanted to know how it worked. I wanted to know how people put these things together. And, you know, today we have tools and technology. You can download Unity or Unreal, and there's lots of courses online. You can go on YouTube. There's so many ways you can get started. And back then, it was really difficult. And I was reading in magazines and all kinds of places I can get any kind of information to get going. So that's kind of how it started. And my brother and I, along with a couple of friends, we had an idea for a game. And we started writing the story, and we were trying to figure out how to make it. And my brother was a pretty good artist. And so he would draw the backgrounds and write the stories. And I would be doing some of the programming and animation work. And we actually borrowed a camera from high school, from the AV group there, and set up a blue screen soundstage in our parents' basement and built that. And we were doing like early video capture before QuickTime was a thing, before Photoshop, and figuring out how to play back video on a PC. And so that was kind of the birth of our first game. So there's a lot of curiosity and just being kind of enamored by, you know, by the technology and how we could be creative and expressive in a new way.
So those were the early days of the company. How did you end up in Manans, New York?
So, you know, I went to college at RPI, did an undergrad in computer science and psychology. The reason I came to RPI was they had this incubator center, and I was like, what is this incubator center? What are they incubating in there? And well, it turns out it was a place for new startups. And I was blown away by the notion that there were people there who could support and mentor you to build your business and expect really nothing in return. You know, the fact that that even existed was mind-blowing to me. And that's kind of why I came to RPI. And so we got our first real office at the Incubator Center on People's Avenue, and grew the company there while I was an undergrad. And after we both graduated from college, and some of our friends, we were all part of that team, we moved to the Rensselaer Technology Park, where we grew the studio, and then eventually built this world-class facility in Manans, of all places.
So can you tell us about what it was like to run an explosively successful game studio on the outskirts of Albany? What were the unique challenges of that situation, and what were the rewards?
Yeah, so, you know, the Capital Region isn't exactly like the gaming capital of the world.
Right.
And there was a lot of temptation early on to move to California and other places where there was already a lot of momentum. But my mentor, you know, in college and helping us build Vicarious Visions, Mike Marvin, was our early investor. And he was one of the founders of MapInfo. And his deal with me was a handshake. He said, stay here and build a technology company in the region, you know, and I'll support you and provide the guidance and mentorship. So that's why we stayed. And so it was going to be challenging in that recruiting and building a critical mass was going to take a long time. And we had to really organically build for quite a while. But there's a natural resource with the various colleges and institutions here. So that was definitely a plus. And you realize as technology improved, you could be anywhere. And now you have virtual teams. You've got studios anywhere in the world where there's creative talent. And I think I'm really proud because the Capital Region has been growing. There's a dozen game studios in the Capital Region, 400, 450 developers and growing. Lots of different areas, lots of opportunity for creativity, whether you're a freelance or you're an indie, you know, or you're a student, all the way up to mid-size and large-size studios like Vicarious.
So it sounds like you kind of got on board at just the right time because this was right before the explosion of Tech Valley in New York State.
Yeah, I think that there were a number of us that really kind of contributed to that movement. And it's really great to see that kind of growth. And it's really great to even see the revitalization of downtown Troy, of all places, bringing in a lot of creative companies and technology companies.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about more next time. So look forward to talking to you again next week. And thanks again for this interview.
Great.